Tonight we'll be in Psalm 34 as we come back to this lesson. Just a few more lessons and we'll wrap this up and move on probably the last week of April, which will not have class. That'll be the revival week. So probably starting the first week of May, we'll be in our new series. And we're going to talk about home. We're going to talk about heaven. There's no place like home. And I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to talk about it now. But right now, God has us back in a heart matter, a spiritual heart matter, looking at our own personal spiritual hearts and diagnosing its shape, its condition. How is it? And we've looked at some very challenging messages, very convicting messages even for myself, studying it and teaching it. But we come tonight to something that I feel is a little more encouraging, a little more positive in this series as we come closing in on the conclusion of this series. Tonight we're going to look at a grateful heart and how to have a grateful heart. Over the last several weeks we've looked at this undesirable side of our spiritual hearts, but we seem to be turning a corner now and looking at some positive things that we can have in our hearts that pleases God. And one of those is a grateful heart. Now we, for the most part, are a troubled people. We're troubled on every side. We're troubled within. We're troubled without. We're troubled in our workplaces. We're troubled in the car driving down the road. We're troubled in our homes. We're troubled by family disturbances. We're troubled by problems in our churches. We're troubled in our neighborhoods and across our nation and around the world. We are plagued by trouble, even in our best efforts. Job's friend, and I use that term loosely, Eliphaz, was not one of the best friends and best counselors Job had at that time. But I believe Eliphaz got it right when he had one statement he made to Job. In Job 5, in verse 7, he said, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." You ever seen a bonfire and seen the sparks start going upwards into the sky? Think of that as moments in our life, those sparks flying up into the air. And man is born into trouble, and all those sparks represent our life and all the trouble we experience in this life. Jesus Himself said in John 16 and verse 33, "In the world ye shall have," well that's pretty plain, we're going to have it, "ye shall have tribulation." You're going to have trouble. And my, we see that tonight. We live in a troubled land and we also personally are experiencing trouble. And we, for the most part, are a burden people. We have trouble in our hearts and can carry heavy burdens within our hearts through this world and in this journey of life that God has given us. But in the midst of all of our nearly constant and complex trouble, Jesus told us, "Let not your heart be troubled." Well, Jesus, that's hard to live. It's easy to read and see and memorize, but how do we live, "Let not your heart be troubled"? Well, He tells us, "Ye believe in God, believe also in Me." So when we're perplexed like this individual on the slide and we're troubled and we're overwhelmed by burdens, Jesus said, "Believe in God. Believe in Me." Jesus is saying, we got this. It's all part of our plan. You might not understand, but it is for your good. Paul, who knew more constant and complex trouble than most of us ever will, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything," and how many things? everything. That means the beatings, that means the shipwrecks, that means the imprisonments, that means being robbed, that means being left naked, that means Paul experienced trouble. And he said to the church at Thessalonica, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Again, Paul, that's easy to memorize, easy to read, easy to say, but not so easy to live. How are these commands possible? Most of what troubles us springs up from either a moral issue, a spiritual issue, or a natural evil in the world today. And yet, we are to give thanks. So how do we give thanks for our troubles, our tribulations, our discouraging times? How do we give God praise when we are burdened and overwhelmed? Psalm 34. One verse tonight. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or woman or boy or girl. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Again, easy to memorize, easy to read, easy to say, but to put in practical application to our lives takes a little work. And not just once. Every time trouble comes, every time tribulation comes, every time a burden comes, every time that you feel so overwhelmed you can't move forward, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good all the time. It's not just an action for God. It's part of His character. God is good. And God can never change. He changeth not. So God is forever good. So that means everything God does is good. That means His plans are always good. I don't like some of God's plans. But I have to realize they're for my good. And He knows best. So I have to say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. As we dig into this verse tonight, let us think of this subject of a grateful heart or of gratitude itself. There is a distinction of gratitude. Allow me to ask a question that might seem unnecessary, but are thankfulness and gratitude the same thing? Actually, no. They're not the same thing. Gratitude and thankfulness are two separate words. Thankfulness is an adjective. Gratitude is a noun. Being thankful is about being pleased and relieved, an adjective that describes feelings. You're thankful. Thankful that you didn't get in a car wreck on the way to work or the way to church tonight, and we've got so many crazy drivers in this area right now. I'm sure they're everywhere, but they seem like they're all in Johnston County. On Highway 42. So being thankful is that adjective that describes our feelings. Gratitude, on the other hand, to have a grateful heart, to be express gratitude, this noun, this is a quality of being thankful coupled with a readiness to show appreciation and return kindness. Well, that goes a little bit further. Gratitude is about our character. Did you get that? Gratitude is about our character. To make sense of the distinction between thankfulness and gratitude, allow me to illustrate it. A student receives the results of a difficult math exam, and their grade is better than anticipated. So they're relieved and they express through an adjective they are thankful. They're thankful for that grade that they didn't even anticipate. Gratitude, on the other hand, would be displayed when that student approaches their teacher to show appreciation for the extra time and help that she offered. That's gratitude. Taking that thankfulness and taking it a step further and showing kindness. Thankfulness is more inward. Gratitude is expressed outwardly. Thankfulness is more of a spontaneous response. Gratitude, as with all character building, takes time, effort, and intention. So that's the distinction of gratitude. But let's look at the discerning characteristics of gratitude. Gratitude should fill our hearts as a Christian. We aren't just thankful for our salvation. We should be grateful for our salvation. How do we do that? By expressing outwardly kindness to the one that saved us, but also to others. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we've already read, but Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God wants you to be thankful. God wants you to have a grateful heart. In Acts 2, and verse 46 and verse 47, and they, the apostles, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. The apostles were expressing gratitude to God, and it was expressed to others. So why are we so prone to ingratitude? Why does genuine gratitude today seem so elusive in our lives and in the lives of our families and our co-workers and our church members? Why is it so elusive today? We live in maybe the most prosperous country and certainly the most prosperous era of all time. And as people bought back into fellowship and relationship with God by the work of Christ, Christ has bought us, purchased us, redeemed us. Shouldn't we be grateful? Shouldn't we be more than just thankful, sense of feeling? Oh, we should have hearts overflowing with gratitude for the Lord. Just think of the cross and all the actions leading up to the cross. It should get us on our knees saying, thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful for you going to the cross for me. For taking upon yourself my sins. For dying in my place on the cross. But no, we have this natural barrier that any time God is blessing us and we take it for granted and we overlook the blesser and look at the blessings, and we become defiant against gratitude. We don't mean to, but in our hearts, we are becoming less grateful. We can see it in our society. We can see it in our churches. We can see it in our homes. We can see it in our schools. And tonight we'll just look at three reasons why I believe we struggle with gratitude. The first is looking over the fences in our life. Gratitude requires recognizing the good we have been blessed with rather than the blessings we have not yet received. But we're ungrateful. We look over the fence and say, oh, look what they have. Oh, look at what they've got. Oh, look at the blessings God has blessed them with. Instead of being grateful for the blessings God has blessed us with. Typically, we tend to dwell on what we would like to have more than what we have. Be honest. We're all there. I'd love to own a bigger house. Well, I'll sell you mine. It's too big. We've already decided it's too big for us. Those people call me up. You get those spam calls. We're going to buy your house. Oh, really? And we're going to offer you double what the market says. Oh, really? Are you interested? I was like, no. Oh, but Mr. Money, we will pay you top dollar. I said, you called me. I didn't call you. So here's my price. Well, your house isn't worth that. It is to me. So if you want it, there's the price. You don't get those calls too much anymore. After you say that three or four times, they're like, okay, I guess he's not interested. So now they come up with new tactics, and y'all get those too. But typically, we dwell on what we would like to have more than what we have. I would like to have a better paying job. Careful what you ask for. IRS would like for you to have a better paying job too. Today's tax day. Hope y'all remember to mail your taxes. I would love to have a newer car. Well, I'm on the other extreme. I'd like one of those trucks that doesn't have anything in it, but you can climb in that motor and just stand in there and change the oil and change the air filter. No computers, no power windows. But no, we got all this technology in our car, and you take it to a special, and he goes, oh, I need this special tool, and it's going to cost you. Yeah. Careful, those newer cars. Yeah, they smell real good. I'd love to take more exotic vacations. Well, the Lord's blessed us, and we've taken some exotic vacations. You know, I like to be home. I love being home. We love to get away to West Virginia because all we do is park the car and don't get in it until we leave. No cell phone reception, just quiet. But you know, we're focusing on all those things we don't have when we already have been blessed with a house. Or we already have been blessed with a good paying job. Compare that to someone in another country, we're very rich. We already have a nice car. Or we are blessed and be able to take vacations. I'm sure you work with people, and my wife works with people, that they've never been out of the state. You know, they have not taken grand trips. We're blessed. We are blessed. And yet, we try to get someone else's blessings. That's ingratitude. And it's not ingratitude to your family or to your neighbors or your coworkers or your boss. We're being ungrateful to God, who has blessed us. He doesn't owe us anything. And yet He still pours out the blessings upon us, and we know our hearts. We know our lives. We don't deserve these blessings. We're always looking to the next thing. The bigger, the better, the shinier. Now, wishing is not wrong. Don't get me wrong. Wishing is not wrong. Desiring is not wrong. But wishing does necessarily preclude gratitude, because it defines it, I can't be grateful for something I don't have, because I'm not grateful for what I do have. Say God does give you a bigger house. How much bigger is bigger? I know people with 5,000 square feet. I know people with 7,500 square feet. That's a lot of rooms to clean. That's a lot of vacuuming. That's a lot of windows to wash. Do we really need what we're desiring? No, we don't. Gratitude requires moving our eyes from the things we don't have to the things we do have. Look around your home and your yard, your bank accounts, and look what God has blessed you with. Look at your kids and your grandkids, and look what God has blessed you with. And be grateful. Looking over the fences is the first. Second is the pursuit of more, the pursuit of society's pressures. We live in a society that cultivates ingratitude. You just turn on the television. And if you get addicted to those home shopping channels, God help you. But, most of us probably aren't there. But what about Amazon? How many times does Amazon come to our house? Every day? Every week? Do we need everything we order? Or are we just overlooking what we've already been blessed with? The pursuit of society's pressures that cultivates ingratitude. If we couldn't be grateful enough for what we have, then ingratitude is that yeast that thrives in American culture. Advertising persuades us that things will satisfy that need that we didn't know we had a need 30 seconds ago. HGTV. It's got some great shows. I love to see how they can remodel a room when I'm sitting at a doctor's office, and that's usually what's on. It shows us some beautiful home and some beautiful location, but they had $50,000 budget and they were able to do it in a week. Come on. They were professional crews and they probably didn't tell us all the truth. But HGTV, I don't remember what it stands for. HGTV convinces us that if we just had $50,000, we could make our home look like that. No. Political radio, whatever your party, political radio, political TV, political social media, no matter the party, says we cannot rest until this agenda is met. Both parties say the same thing in just different ways. We need to change the agenda and then we'll all be happy and blessed. We still live in the greatest country in the world. The prayer behind ingratitude. The prayer behind ingratitude is, if only. If only I had this, I'd be happy. If only we went there, we would be happy. If only, if only, if only. That's ungrateful. God has already blessed us. If He didn't give us anything else, we're blessed. But if we wake up in the morning, our lungs are still working, our heart's still beating, the blood's still circulating, and we can crawl out of bed and stand on our feet, then we're vertical. Brother E.L., love of Brother E.L., he had a saying, that right back there under the balcony. He's up there singing in heaven today. He said, it's better to be seen than viewed. He loved to say that, and it made me to smile every time he said it. It's better to be seen than viewed. What are you saying? I'm vertical today. I'm not horizontal. And everybody's coming sobbing over me. If only. Our culture assumes that normal people operate with a consistent level of discontentment. That's our marketing advertising world today. Our world operates, our society, our culture operates on everybody's discontent. So they're looking for the next thing to satisfy them. I got to move off of that. That's too convicting. A third defiant action towards gratefulness that leads to ingratitude is keeping up with the Joneses. Ingratitude elevates desire for things more than for the Creator. We desire food, we desire shelter, we desire friendship, we desire good health, we desire happiness. God created all those things. Look with me. We're in Psalm 34. Go to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. God tells us that He created all these things and they're good. Psalm 104, verse 14. Psalm 104, 14. He causeth, this is God, He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of man, that He may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, and the cedars of Lebanon which He hath planted, where the birds make their nests is for the work, the fir trees are her house, and it goes on and on and on. And God said, I made all these things, I created all these things, and they are good things. But these good things that I have created were for a purpose. If you went through these verses and looked at what the object of creation is, what was it created for? There was a purpose for everything in God's creation. Not for us to elevate our desire for those things more than the Creator. However, God also gave us an appetite so unique it has its own category, the desire to see and savor His infinite eternal presence. God planted that within our hearts, and He wants us to desire to fellowship with Him and to be grateful for what He has blessed us with. It says over in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God says, I want you to desire Me. I want you to long after Me. I want you to be grateful for Me. Augustine, from long ago, recaptured this statement. Thou hast made us for Thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. What a beautiful saying. Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. We are supposed to hunger after God. But unfortunately, more often than not, ingratitude comes in. We try to satisfy the hunger God has given us with God's creation. How do we do that? Trying to keep up with the neighbors. Keeping up with the Joneses. Somewhere in our heart, on a level maybe not even conscious, we convince ourselves that whatever created thing we lack, it will bring us satisfaction. It will bring us complete happiness. It will bring us joy. Oh, if I only had a boat. Well, then you got to have gas, and you got to have license, and you got to have a trailer, and then you have to have time to be on the boat. If I only had a motorcycle. Have you seen the way they drive in this area? If only. They're not going to satisfy you. Those things. For Christians, we should know that the only true satisfaction that will truly satisfy us is found in God. That's it. Our creaturely appetites will be fulfilled one day in the new creation. But for now, Christ suffices in His abundant blessings, fulfilling our needs and some of our wants. Gratitude is elusive because we're so easily duped into thinking that eternal hunger can be satisfied with temporal things. It'll never work. Go back to Psalm 34, verse 8. Read it with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. So how do we develop this heart of gratitude? You say, well, my heart's not cold. My heart's not half-hearted. My heart's not envious. My heart's not hardened. But I'm not as grateful as I should be. How do I develop this heart of gratitude? How can I cultivate it? Well, first we need to raise our ingratitude antenna. Let's sense it. Let's be aware of it. Let's see what's going on around us. Let's notice the complaints from our own lips and from our family members' lips and from our co-workers' lips and our church members' lips. Let's have our antennas up, looking and listening for those complaints about a job or a spouse or a body part. Fantasizing about a bigger home or a bigger bank account or a different political climate. We raise up that antenna to listen for ingratitude. We'll be shocked how much it's around us and how much it comes out of our own mouths. Raising that spiritual antenna makes us aware and how we can deal with the root problem. Secondly, cultivating contentment in Jesus. That's Psalm 34:8. Cultivating contentment. Contentment and gratitude go hand in hand. Jesus Christ is the one and only key to human happiness. That's it. As God incarnate, He provides our ultimate satisfaction. As our atonement, as our Redeemer, as our Mediator, He alone makes it possible for us to have communion and fellowship with God Almighty. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. and thy presence is fullness of joy. Oh, where can I find joy? Not only find joy, but find fullness of joy in God's presence. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Cultivating that relationship with God through Jesus builds contentment. Meditating on His Word, worshiping God through prayer and song. All of these open our hearts to the fount where we can find satisfaction. Tasting and seeing God is good leads to gratitude. And lastly, we need to supplant in our mouths and our hearts and our minds ingratitude with thanksgiving, with thankfulness. Gratitude grows from the inside out. Ingratitude, like any sin, is a lion that grows when we feed it and shrivels when we don't. So are we feeding ingratitude? Once we catch the message of ingratitude, it's all around us. It's inside us. We can start supplanting those ungrateful comments and thoughts with prayers of gratefulness. Sure, our older car is not sleek and sexy like the newer ones, but it's given us reliable service with barely a repair. That's something to be grateful for. Yes, my job is demanding and my pay is not what I feel is adequate, but I enjoy the work and the challenges and the Lord and my paycheck have provided for my family's needs. My health or the health of my spouse is not what we desire, but I'm grateful for the number of good health years the Lord has allowed. This year we celebrate 40 years. Just about a month. And we come to realization when you thank God and be grateful for those 40 years. But also to be grateful for whatever years He gives us left. So, here's my challenge. Gratitude is a superpower. It enables us to see our past experiences and embrace how God has blessed. People with a grateful heart empower others with their perspective when we draw strength from gratitude. A grateful heart strengthens you against many of the wounds and insecurities that drag people down and damage relationships and friendships. So again, I say, gratitude is a superpower. Give me that next slide, brother. So I challenge you. Enable your inner gratitude or gratitudette. Because within you, you have a superhero. And it's gratitude. So we need to get into that phone booth like Clark Kent, and come out in our tights. I'll leave that to y'all. And they've already proven that capes are dangerous, so you shouldn't wear a cape as a superhero. Get sucked in jet engines. Put on your gratitude or your gratitudette. It's in you. Or are we just going to feed the lion of ingratitude constantly? Well, it's going to consume us. Something funny just to help us through the week. Think of that gratitude and gratitudette. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. You have been so, so good. And good is not enough adjectives to describe how good You are to us. Oh, help us to stomp out that lion of ingratitude in our hearts and minds and lips and to be a people of more gratitude towards the blessings you have blessed us with. And let that gratitude and that spirit of gratitude pour out of us and spread to others that we can have just that sense of, oh, God is so good to us and we are so undeserving. Help us to develop a grateful heart. We do love you tonight, and we do thank you for all that you do for us. But help us not just to say thank you. Help us to be grateful. That noun instead of just a sense of relief and emotion. Bless, I pray, your people in Jesus. Amen.